Our text today is found in Esther chapter 8, beginning at verse 7. Then King Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hands upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name, and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the lieutenants, and deputies, and rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by posts on horseback, and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together, and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people, and the province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey, upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. The copy of the writing for the commandment to be given in every province, and published unto all the people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the posts that rode out upon their camels and mules went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandments. And a decree was given in Shushan the palace, and Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. Our subject today is the assurance found in redemption. Now the salvation of a sinner is the greatest thing that can happen to this side of eternity to the individual. Now you listen like you never listened before. God has a method of redemption, and God doesn't change. And today, the method of God's redemption has been changed, altogether different than what it is. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Your experience has to correspond with that which is found in the Word of God. God has but one way to save a sinner, and I'm going to give it to you again today so that you'll understand it very clearly and that it won't be mistaken whatsoever. We find God's method of redemption involves five different things. Not only does he redeem the individual, but he also gives the individual an assurance that they have been redeemed. Salvation is not a hope-so, guess-so, think-so, maybe-so, or surmise-so. Salvation is not a working out. It's not an act on the part of the individual, in one sense of the word, because we are brought to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But are you listening? The very faith by which we believe is the faith that God gives us by his absolute sovereign grace. God's method of redemption has these things. Number one, first of all, there is the divine intervention on the part of the Lord God of heaven in behalf of the individual. King Ahasuerus intervened directly with regard to both Mordecai and Esther. And we see that set forth in Esther chapter 7. We find what happened. He stepped in, and what did he do? He gave the edict in which Haman was to be done away with. And so we find it was a divine intervention on the part of the king with regard to the salvation of Esther. Well, now, what about us at this present hour? Are you listening? It's a divine intervention on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf. God sets out to save us, and when he does that, he interferes in our life. First of all, he stops us in our tracks and makes us realize that we are being dealt with by the Lord God of heaven. Esther was set apart by the king for the purpose of making her his queen. When she became a queen, all right, Haman's decree involved her also that she was to be put to death because she was a Jew. And we find Haman's decree decreed that all the Jews in the Medo-Persian Empire were to be put to death on the 13th day of the 12th month. Now this decree was infallible. It couldn't be changed. It was irrevocable. It could not be stopped. But another decree had to counteract it if there was to be any change whatsoever. Now with regard to the Lord God of Heaven, I'll tell you right now, the Lord God of Heaven has given a decree, and this is what it says. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Every one of us are sinners, and we are all condemned by the law of God. Now you get this. The law of God is irrevocable. It cannot be done away with without being fulfilled. And the law of God had to be fulfilled on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ for you and I to be redeemed. That involved the divine intervention of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. And are you listening? It's still going on when God sets out to save a sinner. I hope you know what I'm talking about. The second thing is this. Not only was there divine intervention, but we find also there had to be the demise of the perpetrator of evil. In Esther chapter 7, we find this is set forth. Listen to it if you will. As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And then in Harbona, one of the chamberlains said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Now what do we have here? The second aspect of God's redemption is not only divine intervention, but the second aspect is the demise of the perpetrator of evil. Now hold your seat as I give you this truth. Satan is the perpetrator of the evil that was brought upon the human race by the fall of Adam and Eve. And we find at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan was judged and condemned. Are you listening? And he was put to death. Now hold your seat. He's not dead yet. But I'll tell you right now, in fact, he will never die. He will suffer the torments of the damned for all eternity. But Satan right now is under the reprieve of the Lord God of Heaven, and he can only do what the Lord God of Heaven will allow him to do. And so you and I can rejoice in this, that greater is he that is in us who are saved than he that is in the world. And we find the second aspect of God's redemption is then the demise of the perpetrator of the evil one. The third thing is this, there's deliverance by blood and power. How was Esther delivered? She was delivered by blood and power. It involved the blood of Haman. Are you listening? It involved the power of King Ahasuerus on her behalf. Now what about us at this present hour? You and I are also delivered by blood and power. You say, what in the world are you talking about? We are delivered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he shed his blood on our behalf. And we find it was a perfect blood. And so if that blood was acceptable unto the Lord God of heaven when Christ presented it in heaven. Secondly, we find we are saved by blood and power. It was the power of the Lord God of heaven that redeemed us from the power of Satan. And it's still going on at this present hour. We find the power of sin, which was at one time ruled as a king over us, was broken by the power of God when the Lord Jesus Christ died on our behalf. And we find it's the blood that made an atonement, and we find it was the power of God that did what? Not only broke the power of sin that ruled over us, but it did something else. It translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, who is none other than the Lord Jesus. The third thing that takes place is this. The Spirit of God comes and dwells within us forever and ever, so that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Oh, yes, what a privilege it is to be a redeemed child of the Lord God of heaven. But then there's a fourth thing. And what is this? The Jews had to have it also. The Jews had to have a declaration given in their behalf. And that declaration was written by Mordecai under the leadership of King Ahasuerus. And Mordecai wrote that the Jews were allowed to stand for their lives on the 13th day of the 12th month in which they were supposed to be all brought up and put to death. Well, now, with regard to the New Testament, it goes a whole lot further than that, my friend. Not only has the Lord God of heaven died for us, and not only have we been delivered by the blood and power, but we also have the assurance of the Word of God that we are redeemed by the Lord God of heaven. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, let me give you two verses of Scripture, if I may. First one is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, and it says these words, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Now that's the Word of God. Then we find also, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And it's the blood that has made an atonement for our sin. Now all of this is set forth before us in the Word of God, because you see, the Lord God of heaven is the object of our salvation, but the Word of God gives us the assurance of salvation. And we find when the word of Mordecai came to the Jews, and it was by the word of Ahasuerus, and we find these words. Well, again, look with me, if you will, at Esther chapter 8, and we find in verse 14. Listen to it. "So the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them." And you see, the Jews were given the word of King Ahasuerus, written by Mordecai, that guaranteed them but that they would have the privilege to stand for their life on the 13th day of the 12th month. Well, are you listening? You and I don't have to stand for our life, because when the Lord God of heaven reaches down and saves us, what does he do? I'll tell you right now, he gives us a new life, does he not? And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God, because I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, my friend, today, that's the Word of God given to us. Now, God may give you a personal word that he has redeemed you. Now, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, I'm one of them. God has given me a personal word that he has redeemed me. And what is it? It's the Word of God, but it was made personal to me individually. Now you say, can I give it to you? Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17 says these words, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, yet thou in love to my soul hast delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sin behind thy back." Now, beloved, that's a personal word that the Lord God of heaven gave to me. And I hope he's given you a personal word similar to it. But we find there's one more thing. What is it? Not only a declaration in behalf of those that we are delivered. It was a declaration of King Ahasuerus with regard to the Jews. And it's a declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ with regard to you and me. You see how wonderful it is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, you see, that's the Word of God. And the Word of God cannot be broken. The Word of God cannot be changed, as the word of King Ahasuerus could not be broken, and it could not be changed. The decree had to be carried out, and that's why they had to issue another decree with regard to the decree of Haman. But with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, are you listening? Not only did my Lord live on this earth, but I'll tell you what he did. He fulfilled the law of God. He became our mediator, and he fulfilled the law of God on our behalf, so that we, through him, are redeemed by his precious blood and by the power of God. And how wonderful it is. Are you listening? And there's no charge that can be laid against us. Oh, how wonderful it is. Now, someone might say, well, now you're so dogmatic about it. Well, let me give you a couple of verses of Scripture, if I may. The first one is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. And listen to what it says. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." I'm going to ask you a question. Are you walking after the flesh, or are you walking after the Spirit? If you're walking after the Spirit, that means you've been converted. And what does it say? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Once we are in Christ Jesus, we are always in Christ Jesus. And how wonderful it is. And not only that, then in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we find these words. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how wonderful that is. You see, when God gives us a peace, what happens? It's the peace of forgiveness. Then it's also the peace of assurance. And it's the peace of pardon. And then, come up with it, it's a peace of joy and realization that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for us and that we are no longer under condemnation, but instead, what happens? We are redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, and God gives us the Holy Spirit of God as a testimony that we are the redeemed. And how wonderful it is, because the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children of God, then we're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know what I'm talking about? This is the assurance that's given. And this is God's method of redemption, because you see, the definite assurance was given to the Jews, and it's by the word of God. And we also have the definite assurance has been given to us, which is also the word of God. And how wonderful it is. And I'll tell you right now, nobody can change it. Satan, who's a perpetrator of the evil, at one time he had power over us, all right? And I should say he's been judged at the cross of Calvary. And rest assured of one thing, ultimately he will be put in a devil's hell. All right, with regard to Haman, Haman was a perpetrator of the evil that was set forth against the Jews. And what happened? The king had to intervene personally. And what did he do? He intervened in behalf of the Jews. And what did he do? He judged Haman and had Haman put to death by the direct decree of King Ahasuerus. And the Lord God of heaven, by his direct decree, is going to put Satan in the lake of fire one of these days. Now, someone might say, can you prove that? I most certainly can. And I invite you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of Revelation. And we see it set forth in the 20th chapter. And I want you to listen, if you will. Chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, these words. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And are you listening? That's a reality. And I don't know about you, but it's a reality that is written in our souls, and how wonderful it is, because the Lord God of heaven gives us a full assurance that we are no longer under condemnation, but we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. My time is gone, and I just want to leave this with you. If you're not sure, begin right now to ask the Lord to show you. Search his word. And don't rest until the Lord God of heaven gives you the assurance that the Lord Jesus has reached down and saved you. And if you're saved, live for him day by day, if you will, at this hour. Until we meet again, this is Pastor North here of the Mercies of God saying goodbye for now. And oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Thank you for listening to the Mercies of God radio broadcast with the late Dr. Peter Nortier. For more about Mercies of God, go to our website, merciesofgod.org. That's merciesofgod.org. If this program is a blessing to you, send your tax-deductible contributions to the Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, M-O-G-A, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Once again, the Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, M-O-G-A, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Or go to the website, merciesofgod.org. That's merciesofgod.org. Join us again next time for the Mercies of God radio broadcast with the late Dr. Peter Nortier.